Live from New York City, it's The Gary Noll Show. And now, your host, Gary Noll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noll, broadcasting video streaming live from our studios in New York City. You can watch today's show by going to Progressive Radio Network Facebook. Today, the latest on nutrients that can make a difference, well, causing us to be more susceptible to cancer if we don't have them. And I'm going to show you how to, one way of helping prevent pancreatic cancer. Also today, I'm going to spend a lot of time on the environment because we need to. In my opinion, environmental degradation, including but not limited to global warming, is the single greatest threat to our well-being, our health, our economy, to humanity. So we're going to deal with that. I have a lot of video clips to show you today, short ones. And I'm going to invite you, after the clip, to call in and share your points of view. Also today, from a study just out, this is from The Hill. It says, new study ignites debate over cost of Medicare for all. And I'll respond to this. And one of the things I'm going to be doing this week is playing some clips that are in and of themselves controversial. And much like the clip I played from the person on Fox News last week, Kennedy, and she made her point, that's fine, then I simply went through and challenged it, offered a different perspective. I'm going to do the same this week. We're going to have some very interesting clips on that in and of themselves, you'll probably take issue with a lot of the things as I do, but we need to hear. I never want to censor someone that I would disagree with. I want people to hear what they have to say. How many times have I invited the pro-vaccine people on this program, the pro-GMO people on this program, the pro-euthanasia people on this program? They won't come on. I'd love them to come on so you could hear their arguments and then make for your mind up for yourself. So that's what we have planned for you today. Also, just in New York this week visiting is Lou Anne Panessi. And she's in studio here, so we'll say hello to Lou Anne also. But we always begin with the latest on health and healing, generally 20 to 30 minutes on this topic. Quite simply, your single most important mineral is magnesium. There are more than 300 different biological processes that occur when you have it. The trouble is most people think they're getting magnesium from their food. Now here's the catch-22. Even with a really well-balanced diet, if you're drinking coffee or having a cola, caffeine in and of itself is a diuretic. As a result, it can throw calcium, magnesium, selenium, and zinc right out of the system. And hence, you end up with deficiencies in these. Now, according to this Indiana University and Jiki University School of Medicine, Japan, pancreatic cancer, which, by the way, kills a lot of people. When you get pancreatic cancer, there's a very low survival rate. And it says, quote, rates of this lethal cancer have been rising steadily over the past 10 years, and the National Cancer Society predicts there'll be over 55,000 new cases diagnosed this year alone. Yet we know, based on published research, that magnesium deficiency, meaning you don't have enough, can play a role in the development of this dreaded disease. Fact, quote, magnesium deficiency is common in the United States, with the World Health Organization reporting that less than 60% of the American adult population ingest enough of this life-sustaining essential mineral. Let's take a closer look at some of the ways in which magnesium intake impacts your health. And then it gives the actual scientific studies here, like the British Journal of Cancer. And it says that that recent study, magnesium deficiency causes pancreatic cancer risk to spike dramatically by as much as 76%. And, quote, 80% of people with pancreatic cancer also have either diabetes or other forms of glucose intolerance. So here's the takeaway message. Magnesium is very easy to get. Kale, seaweeds, collard greens, arugula, broccoli, are all good sources, and are sesame seeds or tahini. and nuts, walnuts, almonds, or their butters, like walnut almond butters. That's how you get it. But why not make sure? Take a supplement each day that gives you at least 600 milligrams of magnesium. If you're getting 600 milligrams of magnesium from your supplement, and the supplement should not be from the same magnesium that they make from coral calcium, coral magnesium, because it's poorly absorbed. You want it from citrate, and citrate has a very high bioavailability, C-I-T-R-A-T-E. I suggest up to loose stool and then back it down, taking it in the morning before you go out to work out, because it can help prevent a heart attack. Why? Because it's great for people with arrhythmias, tachycardias, and irregular heartbeat. And then before you go to bed at night, about an hour before you go to bed, always take cayenne in capsule form, high heat unit, about 40,000 units, vitamin E, generally 400 to 800 units, coenzyme Q10 at about 200, 300 milligrams, and vitamin D3, 1,000 milligrams, and magnesium. And we could prevent, I'm willing to guess, half of all overnight strokes and heart attack, and that's when a lot of them occur, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. So let's just, it's so easy, so inexpensive. It's not an expensive mineral. This is from the Oregon Health and Science University, and it says, ginseng is a treatment for fatigue, a systematic review. And they look to, quote, millions of people with chronic fatigue illness suffer all the time, and they looked at the multidimensional symptoms of poorly understood causes and the role of ginseng. Now, I remember once I was going to debate a doctor. This is one of those quack buster doctors. These are people who, A, are self-righteous, narcissistic, and in my opinion, the dumbest people I've ever met in my life. They know nothing about the topic they claim to be the world's expert on. So I questioned them in one debate. Do you have a degree in dietetics? So you would know about nutrition. No, but I'm a medical doctor. Ah, but your specialty is pathology. Do you have a degree in nutrition, in nutritional biochemistry, in nutritional physiology, in diet therapy, in dietetic sciences, oxidative stress therapies? No. Then how can you talk about a topic when you have no actual study? Have you published an article based upon clinical research in the specific area that you're claiming to know about? And these people claim with absolute arrogance that they know about everything. They know they're pro-GMO, they're anti-organic, they're anti-vitamins and minerals. They don't believe in body-mind approaches. And so those of us who actually have degrees, legitimate degrees, fully qualified in the area, are given no credibility. Here's the irony. This is the New York Times. I want to give you a little area how this works. This is the politics behind the scenes. I get a call one day from the New York Post, and a woman reporter said that she wanted to do a story on, you know, my work. Well, to me, that's a red flag. Because when the media comes to you to do something, they have an agenda already. So they might interview you for an hour, and they'll take one piece that serves their needs. But they're not there to help your information get out to the public. I said, all right. So she came. But I asked her to come and interview me on a day, it was a weekend, when I was doing a lecture, at the Roosevelt Hotel in their Grand Ballroom. I'm guesstimating there were 3,000 plus people there because every seat was taken and the people were lining up 10 deep. So when we went in and she sat there and I said, how many people in this room can honestly say that they are healthier today because of advice they've learned through books or television or radio or lectures or counseling? Just lifestyle. And you're healthier today. All these hands went up. I said, let's be specific. How many had cancer today don't and are long-term survivors using natural therapies? Hands went up. Diabetes, heart disease, hands went up. Fatigue, hands went up. And then I said, how many doctors are in the room? Board-certified physicians, medical doctors. I'm guesstimating 40 hands went up. Nurses, probably 100. Dietitians, healthcare practitioners, probably another 100. I said, so here we have a woman reporter for the New York Post who's here to do a story about health, whether or not what I do works. So here's 3,000 plus testimonials, including how many people here were HIV positive, full-blown AIDS, an ARC, who today have no disease that can be demonstrated in their body or are in recovery and long-term using only natural therapies, not AZT, not DDI, protease inhibitors, but just natural approach. Dozens of hands went up. So I went ahead and I did a lecture. After the lecture, the woman did not interview a single person. Oh, she did interview one person. Sorry. Dr. Stephen Barrett, the Quackbuster. That's the guy who didn't get his board certification in psychiatry, but is the world's leading expert, according to Jane Brody and other people at the New York Times and Consumer Reports. Shame on them to allow him to be the expert on chiropractic and didn't do their homework. And so he has been the person that then gets quoted in Wikipedia as the expert and condemning everything that you hear every day. So that's just to show you that the media, in my experience, personal experience, cannot, by caveat, be objective, because to do so, they would directly challenge their advertisers. You can't have the number one source of your income from 60 Minutes. But when was the last time 60 Minutes showed the scam of people taking drugs when they didn't have to and being sickened or dying, called iatrogenesis, and state unequivocally by the actual science that iatrogenesis, illness and disease, the number one killer in America, not heart disease, not stroke, not cancer, your doctor. They won't do that. And what about putting the actual markup, a profit, from the generic 30-day supply, what it actually costs the manufacturer, to what they're selling it for, which goes anywhere from 3,000 to 500,000% increase? They won't do that, because the moment word got out that they were doing that, they'd get flooded with calls from lobbyists and from front groups and AstroTurf groups and scientists saying, you can't do that. So you're never going to get the full truth. They go after the low-hanging fruit. They always go after the easy target. I never see them. Well, have you seen them go after Hillary Clinton and Obama for causing genocide and the return of open market slavery in Libya? Every African-American in America should be absolutely outraged at Barack Obama for what he did using his color, his ethnicity, to gain votes and then turn right around and went after people of color. Now, maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, call me right now and show me where I'm wrong. He went after Syrians, people of color. People in Africa invaded with special ops at least 7 countries. And yet he's hailed. By whom? By corporate interest, the corporate Democrat. Just like the, I don't even mention the Republicans are so corrupt. So just remember, almost never are you getting an honest, objective answer anywhere about anything, and especially not about health. Because if you were, we wouldn't be giving mammograms. You wouldn't get synthetic hormone replacement therapy. You wouldn't get the copper coil 7, the diaphragm. You wouldn't get a lot of these things are known, A, to be inefficient, B, not work, or C, put you at harm's risk. Vaccines would be at the top of the list. Genetically engineered foods would be right up above that. So you see, we're living in an absolute swamp of corporate profitizing off our ignorance. I'm going to jump ahead here to show you this. This is from The Hill, and it says, quote, a new study that puts an astronomical price tag on a Medicare for All proposal has prompted mockery from conservatives and defense cries from liberals. And it says that it would add $32.6 trillion over the next 10 years. Finally, from the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, they say 2 sodas a day raises cancer risk. Wow, gallbladder cancer in this one. And this was published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. So it's a hot day. And you have 2 bottles, cans of soda. You just increase your risk of cancer. Do we see any television network that advertises that soda telling us that? We also have studies showing that if you're eating the hamburgers that you see them advertising, on television every day that it causes cancer? No. So when they can take off the air everything is harmful for your health, you'll see every radio and television station in America being non-commercial, because that's how bad the commercials are. And we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. And we're going to get into the environment a bit. And here's what we're going to start on. This is from The Verge. It's called About 50% of Americans Don't Think Climate Change Will Affect Them. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. So we're going to deal with this when we come back. And we're going to come right back in to something happening in Florida right now. So we're going to go show you what the red tide is doing. On the East Coast, Port St. Lucie and Juniper, very high-end areas, very expensive homes. This is where Tiger Woods and others live, a lot of celebrities. But on the West Coast, all the way from Orlando, Tampa, St. Pete, down the entire coast, not only can you not swim in the water, fishers cannot take any fish out of the water, manatees are dying by the hundreds. In fact, more manatees have died this year because they can't breathe. In fact, there's in the video you'll see a guy hosing off a manatee because it gets no water. That manatee is going to die. Why? Greed, politics, corruption in the state, the sugar industry in the Everglades, the byproducts, phosphate fertilizers, and poor managed by the Corps of Engineers. So now all those people, listen carefully, you thought it was bad having a Category 4 hurricane and 7 million people had to leave the state when the hurricane come? Yes. Now all those people living on the ocean, tens of thousands of buildings and homes, this is the new norm. It's even too toxic to walk on the beach. There's flesh-eating bacteria. Just recently, 10 people died because they didn't pay attention. They went in the water. Put a kid in the water, water's going to go in their mouth. Not a good thing to do. Can't throw a stick in the water and have the dogs run in. So now imagine one of the most expensive beaches in the world. You can't go on. Well, maybe it's just temporary. No, this is the new norm. What do you think that's going to do? Now combine that, you can't use the beaches. The smell is so bad that no matter where you live on the canals, you're going to be affected. And now wait in the next 3 months for the next Category 4 or 5 hurricane to hit. You'll see the largest collapse in real estate value in American history. You'll see the largest exodus over the next 12 to 24 months out of a given state in American history. Florida will be, well, Florida's going to end up being racked. Because what does a county do for its roads, its police department, its fire department, its schools, its sanitation, when the taxpayers are gone and the income coming from them goes with them? That's just Florida. But I'm going to tell you the other places that are livable and those that are not. I'm going to give you a heads up. Positive solutions to what's a really bad problem. We're going to take a break and come right back into it.
Many who are planning to boat or swim in America's lakes and rivers this weekend have to check not only the weather forecast, but also the water forecast. Rain, heat, and pollutants are causing an outbreak of toxic algae. Exposure can cause a sore throat, nausea, and other health issues. Lawmakers in Florida want the governor to declare a state of emergency over Lake Okeechobee's toxic algae problem. Manuel Bajorquez is there.
Chris Whitman's been fishing southwest Florida his entire life, but the once postcard perfect summer waters are becoming fouled by slimy and toxic green algae.
It's not looking good for the future. I mean, I've canceled my trips the last few weeks because of this issue, and I'm not on the water as much as I once was.
It's a recurring nightmare, but this year's early bloom could signal one of the worst summers yet. The problem starts here, Lake Okeechobee, the aquatic lifeblood of South Florida. After heavy rains, the Army Corps of Engineers released millions of gallons to relieve pressure on the lake's old earthen dam. But the water is chock full of chemicals and nutrients, much of it runoff from commercial agriculture and sprawling development. When that mix bakes in the summer sun, the algae population explodes. Biologist John Cassani has been collecting samples and warning about the health hazards.
The toxins the cyanobacteria produce are incredibly potent. They affect liver function. There's neurotoxins that they produce. So it's a suite of really toxic stuff that can kill wildlife and really impact people's health.
If you get close enough, you can see this isn't just a film. It is thick, gooey substance. And once it starts to cover up a waterway like this, it deprives it of oxygen, essentially sucking the life out of it.
Many who are planning to boat or swim in America's lake.
You've tuned in to Stranger Than Fiction News, broadcasting live from the dark side of the planet. Many people in Florida are witnessing what looks like the plague out there on the beaches. Literally, you know, they're covering up their faces. People are keeling over because of the smell. Not only from the dead fish and turtles and manatees that are washing up along the beaches, but of course, the algae itself is toxic and even deadly. There are cases of people actually literally passing out because of the gas that is emanated from these algae blooms. The situation is in Florida is the worst people have ever seen. And you've heard the introduction, the explanation for why this is happening. And we're getting more information from people that live in Florida. They're talking about the big sugar industry next to this lake out there. And as soon as they discharge water from this lake, which is basically a huge lake covered with algae, then they get these red tides along the coast. And the lake is so big that basically when they discharge water from that lake, they let it go on the west coast and the east coast, and so they get this double red tide that surrounds the entire peninsula. And it's just devastating to see the footage and the testimony from people out there. Absolutely devastating footage of turtles, manatees, and the like. They're very graphic videos, very heart-wrenching to look at, and it's completely avoidable. And we're seeing this pretty much everywhere these days, as far as algae blooms. Growing up in the Upper Midwest, just about like every lake there is covered in algae. And people are saying, well, this is because of the runoff from the farmlands and the like. And the science is pretty simple here. Pretty much everybody knows why this stuff happens. But the proportions are becoming, ginormous. And the people are fed up with it. People in Florida are absolutely, on the verge of revolt. And we're going to show you some of the footage, in residential areas. They have a lot of canals out there. And it's all green. It looks like every waterway is set up for St. Patrick's Day. It's that green, like some bright green, some that darker green, and it all stinks. It stinks. It's toxic. It kills everything around it. And some of the footage, it looks like the blob. I mean, these things literally look alive, and they are. But the things that grow on top of them, it's
It's worse than a swamp.
Okay, now, when I fly in to Florida, to the ranch I live on there, Rescue Ranch, you see canals all up and down the state. And a lot of people who cannot afford to live on the ocean live on the canals. They have little boats outside. Now all those canals are polluted, completely toxic. They're not able to clean a single canal, and you have thousands. They're not able to help a single person's water get cleaned up because with the heavy rains, it's raining every single day, and it's also there are cloudbursts that we've never seen before because the temperature is so hot that when you increase the temperature, you increase the amount of water that will collect into a mass and then drops itself. So this is the new norm. So how long will it be until people realize they're in the wrong place? I did a special that you were able to hear on our local stations all over the country last week on Friday, and I gave you an honest appraisal. My appraisal is optimistic for those who are willing to wake up and in a proper and organized and measured fashion decide to make changes. But for people like these, the one that was reported by this article that says half of Americans don't feel they're going to be impacted, that's an illusion. I have other videos that you could see where people who are poor now don't have basic services. They don't have toilets. They don't have running water. They don't have bed to sleep in. How long do you think it's going to take before that reaches critical mass? And then people get angry. When neither party and none of the offices of Washington are addressing this, and the media is not honest about it. For example, you can arrest a person for using drugs, methamphetamine, whatever it is, and put them in jail for a long prison sentence thanks to Hillary and Bill Clinton. But why isn't there ever a discussion about why is a person taking the drug to begin with? We're not willing to look at the cause of problems, environmental problems or any other problem, because then someone would be held accountable. And we would start looking more like the country we become, a third world banana republic, than what we are with an oligarchy living in green zones. And those people will be protected long before the rest of the people are even considered. So what I told you about 10 years ago, there's going to be about 3,000 green zones in America where safe little enclaves you can live if you can afford it, and everyone else has to live in that hinterland where you're not protected. That's what we're faced with right now as we speak. That's why I'm going out in 2 weeks to do a new documentary, the most definitive ever done, on the state of our planet. And I'm going to film all over the world and show you how bad it is. And it's bad, including environmental migrants. You think the ones fleeing countries we bomb, like Syria and Libya and Mali and others, are bad? That's not even 1% of the people are going to be displaced because of temperatures. So I have some temperatures and other things that have happened just in the last week. Now, this is just the last week I'm going to give you. All right? The worst ever recorded. First of all, we have more carbon concentrations than we've seen, quote, in the last 800,000 years. Quote, if humanity stopped the greenhouse gases at their current concentrations today, atmosphere would still continue to warm for the next 100 years. So for those of you who think if you exchange a biodegradable bag, which you should, for a plastic bag or a paper bag, that's your contribution, it means nothing. It's not going to diddly squat. If every industry in the world stopped polluting today, we would still exceed, probably in the next year, the amount that we can have where we have a sustainable agriculture. Quote, coastal real estate worth billions at risk of chronic flooding at sea level rise. This is the Union of Concerned Scientists. The other night, I went to an art film. On my way out, my neighbor, who's also a cinematographer, introduced me to his sister. And she was talking to him about how after 37 years of living in Southeast Florida she sold her house and moved to, and she asked me, what do I think of, you know, Tennessee and near Nashville? And I said, it's a good area and it's sustainable. And she said, I said, why'd you do that? And she said, because she went to a restaurant that she occasionally goes to, and she parked her car in the parking lot. And a guy came over who worked there and says, I wouldn't park there. You better park further in. And she didn't pay attention to him, and she went in and had dinner. When she came out an hour or so later, the water was already up to her door. So when she opened her door, seawater flooded her whole inside floor of her car and seats. It wasn't there when she went in. That's how high the tide is coming in now. You talk about a real estate disaster. Look at the Keys. You go through several keys going down to Key West, and one is Key Largo. 18 inches of water after a normal evening. Not a flood, not a storm, not rain. That's how far the tide's coming in. And then with that comes the stink of the fish. And in the daytime, the mosquitoes. It's so high now that by the end of the day, what had accumulated the night before hasn't subsided yet. So now you're stuck with mosquito heaven and the smell of dank water, fetid water. And what do you think that water is doing to the foundation of the structure of your buildings, all of which are built upon, resting upon concrete pylons, resting on sand? It's destabilizing it. So the entire peninsulas going from Key West right up the east coast of the United States are no longer sustainable. And this is just one of the, quote, extreme changes underway in some Antarctica's biggest glaciers, University of Leeds. Heat wave, 29 dead, this is yesterday, in South Korea, as Southwest Europe prepares for the hottest days on record this week. In fact, could you imagine this? One European country hit 136 degrees yesterday, hottest ever recorded. So how many people died from that? How many air conditioners didn't work? How much strain was there on the power grid that caused that to be shut down? That's the new norm. Quote, summers are getting hotter faster, especially in North America's farm belt, Lawrence Livermore Labs. U.S. coastal flooding breaks records as sea levels rise. This is the National Oceanographic and Association. Unprecedented heat wave fueling Arctic fires made more than twice as likely by climate change, the Royal Netherlands Meteorological Institute. We are now seeing fires in Alaska, in the Arctic, in Russia, in Siberia. And here's why that should be of concern. Because if you have what is called black dirt, which is really just, it's like peat, and it's been frozen for tens of thousands of years, when that falls, and all that methane is going to come up, and it is now. We have yet to have the gigantic megagig 5-ton methane burp, but it will happen. But now we're having trillions of these methane lines coming up from the sea. But when that starts to catch fire, you can't put it out. It's not like in Northern California where you see these huge fires and then it burns through in a day and then you come out and you've got ash. A peat fire can last years. They're impossible to put out because they go so deep. And there's always hot coals underneath from the burning peat. Now, how big a peat is there? If you put all the peat that's out there right now, you would cover every single square inch of the United States. That's how much there is. And not a single effort to deal with this. But we're going to see it. Also, quote, Antarctica's ice loss tripled in the last 5 years, and that's raising sea level risk, University of Leeds and NASA. Hottest July ever recorded in the United States. California's Death Valley bust own record, with 2018 on track to be hottest years ever. The climate crisis is here now. New world record, Imperial, California. Get this. It was 119 degrees and it rained. You never see the two together. Imagine the impact of air that is so hot that you end up with a steam bath. that could suffocate people. And that just happened yesterday for the first time in American history. Scientists say ocean circulation is slowing down. Here's why you should be concerned. This is from NASA. Remember the conveyor belt? It takes cold water. Well, actually, it takes warm water from our South America, brings it up, goes up through and around Iceland and Greenland and back down, carrying cool water with it. That's slowing down. When that slows down enough and the belt stops, you're going to have massive, massive environmental damage all over Europe. In fact, in some places where they won't be able to grow the crops historically they've grown. Climate change is transforming the Great Barrier Reef forever, Nature magazine. Europe's extreme summer is so hot it melted the highest peak in Sweden, and now it's only the second highest. It melted by 14 feet off the top of a mountain, the highest one in Sweden. Human activity leaves diminished oceans. Humankind has already disturbed or degraded 6/7 of the blue planet. Heat wave deaths will rise dramatically. Global fires and droughts, the media cover-up of climate change, University of Queensland, Australia. As climate turns deadly, media are stuck in denial, truth dig. The grotesque truth about Florida's red tide disaster, lake of green algae dumps, Green Med Info. Global species extinction, we're losing 200 species every 24 hours. And forest carbon emissions are set to grow. And from Climate News Network, I have over 30 pages. I just read you 30 pages from the last 6 days. So for those 50% of Americans who say, I either don't believe it or it's insignificant to me, well, why don't you try speaking with the people in Florida who bought condominiums at $5 million and up? Why don't you speak with the people who bought canal homes in Marco Island and other places by the tens of thousands for anywhere from $700,000 to $2 million? Why don't you speak with the people in Miami Beach, in Miami? That'll be the first city that will be unlivable in the next 5 years, I believe, that are still investing in real estate. Wow. But what if you lived in other places like California, Washington State, Montana, Texas, 80% of Texas, and Oklahoma, Colorado, Nevada, South Dakota, Utah, all non-sustainable? Here are some other things that we didn't know. This just came in this morning from the University of Hawaii. Study finds new reason to ban plastic. It emits methane in the sun. Who knew? And we have enough plastic in the ocean, even the Pacific Ocean, that's twice the size of Texas. Think of how much methane that's emitting, and nobody was counting that. And then we have Trump administration lifts ban on pesticide linked to declining bee numbers. What could possibly go wrong? I have no idea. But according to Reuters, quoting The Guardian, when Trump signed, I believe it was Friday, an order eliminating these bans on pesticides, the neonicotinoids that kill bees, bees are responsible for 1/3 of all the crops that we eat that are grown, from almonds to oranges and apples. You don't have pollination, you don't have a fruit. You could have a tree, it could get green, it could even flower, you won't see it. Now, I'm a certified organic farmer, and I teach people farming, conservation, agricultural sciences, natural grafting. This is what I do and have done my entire adult life. I have beehives. They pollinate. There's no sprays. Everything is pollinated. And then you add in fertilizer, healthy fertilizer, and everything grows. That's only a certified organic farmer doing that. Your local industrial farmer doesn't do it. The average farmer in Kansas doesn't do it. And as a result, we're having a mess in our entire agriculture. We sponsor and give billions of dollars to big industrial farmers, and we don't give a penny to small farmers. I gave last week advice to small farmers what they should do. So I'm going to give you some places that you should not consider living in the future. Here are the worst states and least livable. Delaware, Ohio, Louisiana, Alabama, the entire state of Florida, Arkansas, Nevada, Kentucky, Mississippi, and the worst state in America, West Virginia. Now, this is not a condemnation or criticism in any sort of the people, the decent people live there, and the once beautiful environment. It's what we're dealing with today. Now, people don't like to change. They really don't. Even people who had their homes wiped out by Sandy, knowing there was going to be another one, rebuilt. People down in lower Ninth Ward, rebuilt. That's a mistake. And how many times will FEMA pay for your mistake? And when it comes time for you to pay for it, you're not going to be able to. What are the most livable? All right, the ones most sustainable. South Dakota, Hawaii, Virginia, North Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Utah, and I would debate Colorado. Here's the situation with the worst water situation, because you can have a beautiful place to live. And the old metrics used to be, what about the schools? What about places that give you good working, living wages, nice industry growing? Can't use those anymore. What good does it do to have a good job, good schools, take your family there, and then you end up with a hurricane that knocks everything out, or that you end up with fires and burns everything down? That's happening in California as we speak. There are now over a million acres affected. All right, and they're estimating that upward 200 homes are going to be burnt today alone. Those are not cheap homes, and no one ever thought it would happen because they believe the brokers. Boy, that's a mistake. So here are the places that today I would not move to. Oregon, Washington, any place in California, Nevada, Montana, South Carolina, and Utah. Why? Because of water. Not because they're not nice people and beautiful vistas and opportunities. Sooner or later, you're going to have water battles. You have that in the Middle East. And then I graded places based upon climate change. The worst places, Nevada, Texas, except for Northeast Texas, Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, not good. They get an F. Florida, New Jersey, Alabama, Illinois, Ohio, and all your Midwestern states, they get an F. Your best places, here's the good news. The area of Pennsylvania that's not impacted by gas hydrofracking, if it's impacted, if they're fracking, and you're south of that, I wouldn't live there. If you're north of that, it's okay. I would look at northern New York, especially northeastern New York, Massachusetts, Vermont, Connecticut. And the ones that are going to have the most, also Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan are in there too. The ones that are going to have the most extreme weather threats, Alabama, Missouri, Wyoming, Arkansas, Nevada, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Montana, Tennessee, and cities, Detroit, St. Louis, Cleveland, Phoenix, and Pittsburgh. But the most sustainable, as far as good soil, good weather, good water, Vancouver, Minnesota, those are all sustainable. And there's some very green states, good states, Vermont, Washington, Massachusetts, Maine, Connecticut, most of New York, New Hampshire, and Maryland. So those are good news, bad news. And I'll do more detailed on this, showing you the metrics that I use in looking at waterfall, drought, susceptibility to hurricane, and so I'm not looking at jobs, schools, quality of life issues like that, that historically would have been the primary reason to be there. So that's something to think about. And again, think about things, do your homework before you make any move. Ideally, we'll have sustainable communities, because as an individual, I can choose to use solar. I can choose to use solar generators. So if the electricity goes out, you know, that same heat that's causing a problem now is going to generate electricity, then which I can use that electricity to cool down a place. Using berm housing, having berm storage cellars where you can store through freeze-drying and drying. You can store food and other elements that you're going to need for the future and still have quality of life. These are just at the beginning. And as they evolve and as communities evolve, I'll let you know about them, and I'll even go out and film some, and I'll bring them on the air so you can have a choice of which place you'd like to go and visit. But it's our current situation with the environment is absolutely not being addressed by our government. It's not going to. We have a president, his cabinet, and Congress on both sides that are not friends of the earth or animals or people. So do not look for them to come and save you. Do not look for them to prevent a catastrophe. You can only look for them to come in way late and way short on what to do with FEMA. If you doubt me, look at the 1,116 people who died in Puerto Rico. They still don't have all their facilities and resources. And now they're being exploited by people going in there and buying things up on the cheap. That's wrong at every level. In studio, Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. You know, I speak to a lot of the members of your audience, and I've had the privilege of being part of thousands of people's lives in the health support groups and the retreats. And recently, one of our participants from the health support group, who is vegan, her family is vegan, and her daughter is very passionate about the climate and about animals and sea life and things like that. She wrote a paper. They all had to write a paper on something that had to do with food, and she wrote all about the benefits of veganism. And she highlighted a lot of the articles that you had submitted and that you have available to your audience right on the website. And the teacher actually gave the paper back and said it has no credibility. It has no credibility. So my question is this. Obviously, the woman was very concerned. We had to go back and show her all the footnotes of all the good scientific literature that this child supported and brought to the table. And I'm sure it had something to do with the Wikipedia description of who you are.
Of course.
Yes. So my question is this. Your audience, you're spawning a lot of independent thinkers. People are thinking in different ways. They're seeing the world through different eyes because of the type of information that you and many of the other people on PRN are sharing with people. You're bringing truth out. So you have these independent thinkers. I'm watching what's happening to so many of them. How much of a threat are independent thinkers to your corporate world?
Depends upon the forms they have. A Chris Hedges would be an enormous threat to the rule of law in the United States, of how we don't have a rule of law that's applied equally to everyone. So he's given no forum. And by being given no forum, he is then considered a renegade. No matter that he won a Pulitzer Prize and that he was an outstanding reporter and tells the truth and none of his articles had to be rescinded, rewritten, Cornell was the same. Now, he may have a teaching position, but he's not in the mainstream media. Even the liberal media won't have these on because the liberal media, most of it, is controlled by corporate interests, corporate democratic interests, and these people don't want socialism. The interesting part is to understand where they're coming from. They're not going to allow anything that challenges their core base and the people that fund them, the oligarchs. The oligarchs are the people that fund all candidates, left and right, doesn't matter to them. They are apolitical. They don't care who gets in office as long as the person's policies help them and don't hinder them. So, and they have done well. Corporate America has blossomed with Obama, Clinton's, George Bush, Ronald Reagan, and Donald Trump.
So we got a red tide of politicians.
That's correct. That's what we have. The trouble is to align yourself with them with the misbegotten idea that somehow they're going to make the world a better, safer place and more humane and more equitable. Nothing like that's going to happen. So a person like myself becomes a threat to a specific industry if I'm writing or talking on something in a sustained manner. They can handle any single book or article that's negative about a pesticide or a drug. They can handle that. They build it into the cost of doing business. They may have to settle some lawsuits. What they can't handle is if someone like me has an ongoing forum reaching millions, tens of millions of people, and those people then no longer support their product, their politics, or their ideology. Then they'll do anything to destroy me, and Wikipedia is one of the ways they use, but I could tell you 100 dirty tricks they've used to try to attack me and my character. And I'm still here. At least as of today, I'm still surviving, and they're still profitable. So I have to get the message to people in a way that they realize, use it. Share articles, share documentaries. I just went up and I Googled The War on Health, the documentary, 545 million research results.
Wow.
And I was in all three places, you know, their top. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean 533 million people were watching the film. It means that those who wanted to know about the War on Health, I was the number one search engine. So if you look at the War on Health and Prescription for Disaster and all the other films I've done on what's wrong with medicine, healthcare, it's a whole lot of people who are now conscious. They can't control that unless they knock all of us off the internet, which they're trying to do. They've succeeded. Over 150 good sites no longer are being read by everyone because they have been neutralized through algorithms by Google and Facebook. So that's why we keep sharing the positive information. They'll keep doing negative things. And at some point, the American people will begin to become conscious enough to make intelligent choices from what they eat to the kind of job they take to the kind of wages they're willing to work for. And then begin to suddenly realize, maybe I should be protesting. Maybe I should be joining cause. Maybe we should be finding third-party candidates. Maybe my kids shouldn't be vaccinated with all these vaccines. They're not there yet. We're not in enough pain. I've said it many times.
Yes.
You will never see Americans. I'm not talking about the little tiny groups of 100 here or 300 there. I'm talking about millions of people taking the street to protest and shut down America, which is what we need. We need a general strike. That'll only happen when so many people are in enough pain, they're forced to do it. We're not in that much pain yet. As bad as it is, we need more pain. That's unfortunate. Until a system breaks down, you can't realize that's the only way it's going to change. Thank you, Luann.
Okay. By the way, if people want to sign up, I am just about full for the retreat.
Okay.
They can call me at 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008.
Thank you all for listening. I'm Gary Nall. Have a nice day.